You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, I want to take you to a pub in Queensland's Central West. This one is called the Yuraka Hotel.
Okay, well, I mean, can we go to Queensland? We're in New South Wales. Not allowed.
Oh, that's a good point. I'm not sure the restrictions are them. Metaphorically, I want to take you to a pub.
Okay, right. Put it on the list for a future visit.
I wasn't going to actually drive you all the way up to Queensland's Central West just for a beer.
It's like, wow, do I have to chip in for fuel?
Yes, but we're not doing that. But Simo, I want to metaphorically take you to this pub, the Yuraka Hotel, where they have a couple of emus that often frequent the pub.
Okay.
Who have been named Kevin and Carol.
Kevin and Carol.
Yes.
The emus.
Yes.
Okay.
For a long time, all was going well. Patrons were coming in to the bar and enjoying Kevin and Carol's company.
Yeah.
Kevin and Carol are the two emus.
Yep.
However, things have taken a bit of a twist.
Uh-oh.
Just recently, Kevin and Carol have started picking up bad habits, like rifling through bins, going behind the bar where they're not allowed, stealing people's foods off plates, and even their car keys. Plus, they're making a bit of a mess in the bathrooms.
So wait, they picked up these bad habits from who? As in, when they first rocked up, they weren't like this at all?
Yeah. And okay. Well, you know, just over time, you get more comfortable, you get more relaxed, you can get away with more stuff. And Kevin and Carol, the two emus, thought, yeah, this is fun, just to nick people's keys. Oh, there's a chip there on someone's plate, I'll have that. I'll just go behind the bar and, you know, do all this sort of stuff. So anyway, so much so, the people who own this pub have now had to ban the emus.
Oh, no.
From attending.
It's interesting in that the emus have taken on a habit vastly known to be responsible with the seagulls.
Mm.
Like, the seagulls are the ones that you blame for missing hot chips, like if you have less than when you started with.
Yeah.
It's the seagull situation. Emus you'd be able to spot coming a mile away.
Yeah, and it would be more terrifying if you...
No, not true. I've been attacked by a seagull.
Have you ever been attacked by an emu?
No, but...
Bring in the emu!
But
attack Simo, then we can rank which one's scarier.
Hot chips in my hot little hands in the, what do they call it, circular quay there in Sydney. I got absolutely mobbed by seagulls.
Don't take hot chips there.
Rookie move.
But Simo, you used to be a bartender. You did it for quite a number of years. We've talked about it on the show before.
And I did it well, Jordan. I did it well.
I trust you. I'm not denying that.
I'm just putting it out there.
Well, is there some part-time job keeping, the part-time barkeeping work going that you're interested in?
Cash is cash, man. Cash is cash.
Well, Simo, at the bar that you worked at, did you ever have to kind of ban anyone?
Oh, hell yeah.
And how does that work?
Barring notices, I've had to kick people off. My very first shift, are you familiar with the nationally recognised horse race, the Oakbank Races?
No, I'm not a horse racing person.
So that obviously attracts a lot of people around Australia. My very first bar shift, the bartender that was working that night was packed to the rafters. It was like she was finally had a bit of status. It was her, you know, early on in her bartender career, and she walked out. She couldn't handle it.
Oh, that's
so
bad.
So I had to take charge. The police rocked up, said, you got too many patrons here. I think I was like 19. I was like, oh, okay. I've got like a $2,000 payout on the TAB. I'm trying to like get rid of these patrons. It was just a mess of a time.
And then some horses started racing as well at some point.
Well, that's why they were all there, you see.
Well, Simo, this pub in Queensland has had to bar these two emus. And the way they've done it is by putting up a quote, emu fence, an emu barrier.
Okay.
Which is more or less just a piece of string between the door. There's also a sign on the door that says, emus have been banned from this establishment for bad behaviour, so please let yourself through the emu barrier, then reconnect.
Interesting.
It's more or less like, you know, the red velvet kind of ropes you might see at the front of kind of exclusive posh nightclubs, and there's bouncers kind of queue up and they go, nah, not tonight, mate, keep going, or you can go in type thing.
Do you know, barring notices only last for a certain amount of time, though. 12 months and they'll be allowed back in.
Okay, well... In 12 months' time, the name's Carol and something else. Kevin and Carol will be let back in the bar. Or perhaps this pub may start making emu burgers.
Maybe.
Totally coincidental. Where's Kevin and Carol gone? Don't know. Would you like to try our new special? It's an emu burger. 10% off.
Simo and Jordan.
I wanted to ask this question, Jordan, because yesterday I had an issue. What we do when the power's off? What do we do when the light goes? what do you do when the power goes out? Because I was out of ideas yesterday.
Oh, so did the power go off at your house?
Yeah, so out that way, beyond, like, the elephant graveyard from The Lion King.
Yeah, that's where Simo lives. That dark place that you must never go.
That's right, you must
never go. That is where Simo's house is.
So it'd been out since about 9 o'clock yesterday and came back on about 6 p.m. I had the candles lit. Mm. I ended up doing toast in the fireplace. And then the power came back on after that.
Oh, it's always the way, is that you just kind of thought, okay, well, wait for the power to get on, and then it doesn't, and you're like, oh, all right, okay, fine, I'll make toast the old-fashioned way, and then it comes back on.
I bring this to the table as well because there has been new research revealing that today's occasional blackouts are dress rehearsals for the future, when they're going to occur with greater frequency and increased severity. That's out of the University of Auckland over there in NZ.
That's very concerning.
Yeah. So that's why I was like, well, we should brainstorm, you know, some ways to spend the time. Jordan, how do you deal with it?
Let's go back.
Yeah.
Power cuts are going to become more frequent? What's
that's
all
right.
this about?
So the study explains that household electricity usage has increased by 1,300% since 1940 through to now, which is fair, right?
Yeah, they didn't have iPhones back in 1940.
Exactly right. So basically they're looking ahead to the future where the demand for electric kind of vehicles and air conditioning systems is expected to rocket, and then so is the price to be able to make electricity.
Okay, I see.
So stop just leaving the oven on for no reason. Don't preheat it.
Mm.
Use it properly.
Unless you're Jamie Oliver, who does say preheat it. Okay, well, number one, let's hope that that doesn't happen and that all is well in the world.
You are actually so frightened by this, Jordan.
Well, this has been a bad year, let's face it. Droughts, bushfires, COVID, and now apocalypse.
Yeah, right.
But how did you pass the time apart from lighting candles and making toast over a fire?
Well, no, my laptop had battery, so I was fine.
Okay.
Yeah, it was all good. But what do you do? Do you just, because some of the options that are out there, people just take naps. That's one thing you can do when the power goes out.
Yeah, I like to take naps.
Okay,
I can 100% endorse that.
But so what do you do? What do you just bank on your battery life of your phone lasting?
I don't know. It must have been. Maybe I've been supremely lucky where I live.
Yeah.
But I haven't had a power outage.
Mm.
The most recent power outages I've had have been while I was at work. Which is like, oh, well, can't do anything on the computer. I'm just going to pop my feet up for a little bit. So I don't know. I genuinely can't remember what I did last time there was a power outage. Maybe read a book.
I thought the last time you did that was at high school.
That was probably the last time there was a power outage in my life.
Maybe you could read up on whether or not you're going to have power in 20 years, because I saw the whites of your eyes.
Can you print off this study for me? You've got it on your screen there. It looks like a proper university study that goes for about 3 pages.
That's right, yep.
Can you print it off for me and then I'll read that by candlelight?
Because you won't have any power.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
But right now...
Well, right now, Simo, I want to talk about football.
Okay.
And, like, I know that's not everyone's cup of tea, so I don't actually want to talk about the match football. I want to talk about what one player did whilst walking off the ground.
Oh, okay.
Now, this player actually plays for the team that you support.
Ah, yes, I'm a mad fan.
Of the Geelong Cats.
We are Geelong, the greatest team of all. Hey, we are Geelong.
That's their theme
song. We're always on the ball. We
all right,
play
that's
the
enough.
Game as it should be played.
That's
hey,
enough.
We
that's,
are...
We can stop. Okay, we got a little fly on the wall. During the previous song, I said to Simo, can we get the Geelong theme song off the computer?
Like,
and he said, no, I can sing it. And I thought you were joking.
That was a rousing rendition, I feel.
It was probably better than the players when they sing after the match.
Definitely true.
But Simo, you'd be familiar and a big fan of the Geelong player Tom Hawkins.
Ah, yes, the Tomahawk. The big strong boy from rural Victoria, I believe.
I don't know where he's from.
Yeah.
So he's a big forward.
He's muscly. Huge hamstrings.
Plays for the Geelong Cats. They played a game a couple of nights ago, and I think he kicked 3 goals or something like that.
Ah, what a man.
But Samir, as he was walking off, he did something which I can only say is very peculiar. It didn't get picked up by the TV cameras, but other people have managed to get a footage of what he did.
Okay.
I'm handing you my phone now. I've got the video there.
Did he do something dumb?
So there's no sound on it, but I just want you to press play and just commentate. Just describe what he's doing.
All right. He's walking up the race. He's leaned down to pick up a water bottle and he's thrown it into the crowd. Oh, he's not wearing any pants.
It wasn't the water bottle that he threw into the crowd.
Oh, that was his pants.
For whatever reason, as he was walking off the ground, he took his pants off. He still had his undies on and stuff like that, but he took his his footy shorts off.
Hygiene,
and
man.
Threw them into the crowd, and someone caught them, and now has... It was raining during that match as well, so he has a wet pair of Geelong Football Club shorts.
Right.
Worn by their star forward, Tom Hawkins.
Was his wife in the crowd?
No, I don't know, but if his wife really was so desperate for the shorts, could you not have just given...
Just like just
after?
Yelling from the side of, Tommy, we got to put those in the wash.
Oh, fine.
Fine, here you go. Well, I was trying to Google to see why he did it. Was it some weird bet or something like this?
Okay.
But I couldn't find anything because also during that match, he accidentally elbowed someone.
Ooh.
So all the articles are about that, the fact that he may be suspended for a couple of matches.
Standard.
And like you type in Tom Hawkins, AFL player, pulls pants down. And kind of, you're starting to get to a line where there are things that you shouldn't be Googling on a work computer.
What did you find?
Oh, no, nothing like that. Okay, but I'm kind of like, just after I hit enter on that, I'm like,
ooh.
I really hope this doesn't pull up something that I shouldn't.
Shouldn't have Googled that.
Simo and Jordan.
And Jordan, if I was to bring in a glass safely into the studio and fill it up halfway.
I like that you had to say safely as well. Do your parents not trust you with glasses to drink out of?
It's just a lot of equipment in here. So if I was to fill it to halfway, was that halfway?
You don't actually have a glass here.
No.
Fill it. I'm imagining you're doing this.
That's right. So how would you refer to how much liquid was in the glass?
So you filled it up to exactly halfway?
Yes.
I would say it's a glass half full.
Would you really?
As that is my approach to life.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
Because earlier,
positive.
Okay. Because earlier this morning, obviously, you said, you know, it's been a, to quote you, you was like, it's been a bad year.
Yes.
Right.
But I'm still being positive.
That's going to improve.
It can only get better.
Well, I'm pleased for you because apparently if you're a pessimist, if you're one of these glass half empty types, there has been a study done which has shown that feeling less enthusiastic about the state of the world and having a pessimistic view on, say, a glass of water or on other things puts you at apparently higher risk of cardiovascular diseases.
Okay.
So, you know, you have to be chipper. I'm enforcing you to think as positively as you can.
I demand you to be positive.
Because otherwise, it has been clinically shown that you're more likely to develop some conditions associated with death.
Well, Simo, I can kind of see your screen from where I am, and I can see the article you're reading.
Yep.
And I do have to ask one quite major question.
Yes.
The picture that they have attached with the article, you may think it's a story about this, maybe a glass half full, and which one are you? No, Simo, would you like to describe the picture which is currently on your screen, which the people who wrote this article thought, this picture will perfectly go with this article?
It's someone's drawn a smiley face on the what is it, the index finger, is that right? Little
on like the pad of their index finger, I think that's what it's called. At the tip, yes.
Yeah, the old tip there, Jordan.
And then someone else has also got their index finger.
And sometimes...
And drawn an unhappy face on it.
Yeah, they've drawn an unhappy face. So sometimes the tip is happy about life and sometimes the tip is a bit upset.
Are you a tip happy life or a tip bad?
It really depends.
It's an odd picture. But anyway, so back to the article. So what is it saying? So if you're glass half full mentality, you're positive, you're less likely to
develop cardiovascular symptoms. So like, you know, you're breathing and that kind of thing later in life. So they surveyed over 3,000 people.
Yeah.
And found that, those that thought a glass was half empty were more at risk.
Yeah, I genuinely believe that. Like, if you're positive throughout life, you're less likely to have any of this.
So obviously, like, what's good to keep healthy lungs, Jordan? Would you say singing? You know,
Simo, you've heard
really
me sing.
Work the pipes and get it happening. Because
you've heard me singing on this show. I think I've been banned from singing on this show.
Because now, when I fill up a glass of water, I'm just going to I'll start doing a rendition of Bon Jovi. It's very positive. It insinuates that you're going to keep filling it up.
And that also you're living on a prayer, I guess.
Yeah.
But Simo, also, if you're singing with a glass, it's a bit dangerous.
The glass is halfway full.
Oh, I've just smashed it with my voice.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
A Norwegian Elvis impersonator.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a good start to an article. broke a Guinness World Record by performing the singer's catalogue for 50 hours, 50 minutes, and 50 seconds straight.
Oh, wow. That's solid.
So, Simo, are you a bit of an Elvis fan?
Yeah, don't mind him. Goes all right. There's lots out there.
Well, 50 hours, 50 minutes, and 50 seconds worth, clearly.
Well, there's lots of different ones.
Oh, you mean Elvis impersonators?
Yeah, I've met a couple.
Yeah, some are better than others, I think it's safe to say.
So what...
Some of them just fat blokes who kind of wear clothes that they shouldn't.
50 hours straight. No breaks?
50 hours, 50 minutes, and 50 seconds straight.
Oi.
His name is Kjell Henning Boystad. He's from Norway, 52. He's known as Kjell Elvis. And yeah, he broke this Guinness World Record.
Is he the original king? Is that what they call him?
Something like that. I must admit, I'm not a massive Elvis fan.
No, I've never tried on the white jumpsuit myself. Sunglasses, though.
Mm.
You would look rather well, because you've got the dark kind of brooding look.
I'm not becoming an Elvis impersonator.
You've got the dark hair.
I'm going to quash this right now.
Would you like to give it a red hot crack? Just do a little for us.
I'd rather not. Please stop making that noise.
All right,
that
fine.
That is very concerning.
Fine, don't be all you can be. Limit yourself.
Good, okay. Works for me.
So are you pleased for him? Was this something that he'd been working towards for a long time?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm thrilled for this Norwegian guy who wants to break this world record. He actually previously held, because I was doing some research about him.
Yeah.
He previously held the world record for the longest time straight performing Elvis songs, I guess the record is.
Hmm.
But he previously held it before it was broken by a German singer in 2003,
okay,
who sung for 43 hours straight.
Yep.
And this Norwegian guy has trained hard. He's worked hard. 17 years later, he's given it a crack and managed to break the 50-hour mark.
So was it in a studio? Because what happens in the middle of the night? Because that's two nights when everyone else is trying to sleep.
Mm.
Old mate still doing his Elvis impersonation.
No, this was in a karaoke bar, like a pub bar.
Okay, so it was acceptable to be singing at all hours of the morning.
Otherwise, your neighbours would be so annoyed.
It's like, what? Is he doing rubbernecking again? Come on, give us a go.
No.
not even one.
Not even... is that what Elvis does?
It's called rubbernecking, baby. But that's like, you just got to be like, yeah.
I've never seen Elvis or an Elvis impersonator sound like that.
Okay, well, I must not be a very good one.
Well, I mean, you're sitting here in a beanie and a jumper.
That's true.
Which is what Elvis... I've never seen pictures of Elvis wearing a hoodie.
They do say that actors really feel the part when they have hair and makeup done, so...
Yeah.
It's working against
me. If you arrange hair and makeup, I'll do it.
Yeah, fair call.
But it has to be proper hair and makeup, not done by you as a joke.
Righto, you cop out. Actually, no. I've done Danny Zuko from Grease, which is very close to Elvis look.
Danny Zuko, is that the one...
That's John Travolta
John
with
Travolta,
the black
okay, yeah.
hair, yeah. So...
Wait,
I've dabbled.
When you say you've done it, do you mean you've kind of dressed up as that?
Yeah, and sung
the song. Please tell me there's some photos and video footage.
It's on the internets.
Good, we will track that down and we'll see what we can do. But Simo, this guy, anyway, back to this guy, the Elvis impersonator, he did a bit of an interview after breaking the record where he said that his voice was left rather hoarse following his successful attempt.
Yeah, well, that'll happen.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Yeah, that many hours of karaoke straight. What is your go-to track on the karaoke?
Karaoke?
Yeah, what are you?
Sweet Caroline.
Really? Ba ba ba.
Ba ba ba.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah, that should do it.